Well, good morning. How cool was that? Amen. Let's give God a hand clap. For those of you who don't know me, I am JP. I'm just a regular guy who gets to preach every now and then, and I love it. Man, this really fires me up. Thank you, Keith, for the opportunity. So this is a big week as we're going into Easter Sunday. So this is big stuff. So I'm honored to be able to preach today. But as we've been going through this sermon series, we've been looking at the seven miracles in the book of John, which are water to wine, healing the sick son, healing the lame man, feeding 5,000, walking on water, Jesus healing a blind man, and today we are talking about raising Lazarus from the tomb, which just so happens to be my favorite. I love this. This series has been really firing me up. When we look into like Jesus and miracles and what he's doing, I don't know about you guys, but that gets me going. If that doesn't fire you up, maybe we need to check our pulse, because this series has just been has been really, really awesome. Where am I going with this next? So I'm just going to pray real quick. Father God, thank you for this opportunity. I just pray as we think of you coming into Jerusalem, and just as the kids were walking around with the palms, I mean, what an awesome visual of what really happened, Lord. I just pray for this sermon today. I pray that you give me the words to speak, that I can just do you justice, Lord. We love you. We come here this morning. We give you all the praise, all the honor, all the glory. Amen. So with all that being said, I want to be transparent with you guys this morning. I want to share with you an addiction that me and my wife have. And not many people know this, but I'm going to say it.
Did you ask her if it's okay?
I did. Okay. And I thought of you.
Preaching 101.
Yes, I did think of you. Listen, we are hooked on crime television, crime shows, NCIS, CSI, Criminal Minds, give me some Oprah Winfrey Network, 2020, Dateline, I want it all. Okay, ID, that cheesy cable channel, Cold Case Files, Matlock, Murder, She Wrote, Columbo, we're going back. We'll kill some time watching that stuff. But what I like about those shows is that they may introduce a character that may not seem important at the time, but then you see down the road what they're doing. They'll be important later. Now, NCIS is famous for, they'll like show a screenshot of like a scene, and then later on in the episode for the next one, they'll show, and it connects it. So it's a cool way to kind of bring everything together. It's like a piece of the puzzle. You may not know what it is right away, but when you got the whole puzzle together, it makes sense. Amen? So today is the seventh and final sign in John's narrative of Jesus and his life. And like all signs, like we've been talking about, signs point us to something other than itself. And it's a story about Jesus and three of his close friends. Jesus lived in the public eye, as we've been seeing. People like him. They want to be around him. There's groups that follow him. And he was in demand for his teaching and miracles. And there was one home that he could always go to, one place where he could relax, kick his feet up. He knew the door was open. They were going to welcome him. And thankfully, it was in Bethany near Jerusalem. And Lazarus and his two sisters, Martha and Mary, they were very close friends. We find our story in John chapter 11, starting in verse 1. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." And when he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. What? He found out his boy was sick, his family, his close friend was sick, and he stays where he was for 2 more days. Why? Wait a second, this is kind of confusing. Now, Jesus healed hundreds of people, as we've been seeing, with all these miracles. A lot of them were strangers. So when he gets an urgent message, what does he do? When he hears about Lazarus, the one he loved, what does he do? He does nothing. He stayed where he was for two more days, the word says. So we expect Jesus to say to his 12 interns, the 12 disciples, I would expect him to say, come on, let's lace up. We're about to go save Lazarus. That's my boy. That's my guy. My buddy's in trouble. Help is on the way. Come on, guys, follow me. Let's do this. But no. What's going on here? There's a cryptic comment that Jesus makes that this sickness will not end in death. No, but it is for God's glory that the Son of Man may be glorified through it. So maybe something is going on here that we just don't understand. Now let's be honest for a moment. All right, church? There are times when I ask God for his help, and if it were up to me and my timetable, you know, it would happen now. I mean, how many times do we want something and we say, Lord, we know we're praying for it. We say, Lord, and now. But what does God say sometimes? Sometimes God says no when the time is right. Amen? So maybe he knows something that we don't. How many people would agree with me that God has it figured out and we don't? That's maybe why our timetables don't line up, because he knows what he's doing. And I have faith in that. We should have faith in that. Maybe something is going on here that we just don't understand. So after 2 days, Jesus says, all right, now it's time to go. And he adds this in verses 11 to 15. After he said this, he went on to tell them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up. His disciples replied, Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better. Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought that they meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So wait a second. The story just got more interesting here. If Lazarus is dead, then the story's over, right? If only. So news comes to Martha and Mary that the Master is finally coming. Jesus is coming. He's on his way. Well, that's nice, but it would have been nicer if he would have come 2 days ago. We hear that, if only. If Martha's interaction with Jesus, she keeps saying that, if only. So let's pick it up in verse 21. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would have not died. But I know that even now, God will give you whatever you ask. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection of the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. So there it is. If only you would have been here. Jesus, if only you would have been here. We would still have our friend, our brother. Martha shows a continuing trust in Jesus when she says this. I know that even now God will give you what you ask. She's telling that to Jesus. I know. She believes that he's Lord. She knows these miracles, these signs, these things that he can do. She says, I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. When Jesus affirms her faith, your brother will rise again, she says. I know at the end of human history with everyone else, and this was a common belief in Judaism of that time, way off in the future, when we're dead and gone, there is a continuation of life for the faithful. It still doesn't take the sting out of our grief now. Now remember this next week as we celebrate Easter morning. So what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? What does he mean? Because church, this could be the most important quote that we have in our Bible. Like Keith said this morning, Easter week, the resurrection, is fundamentally the most important thing that we can believe as Christians. Without the resurrection, it's just another religion, okay? So what does Jesus mean when he says, I am the resurrection and the life? Then he says this, the one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Once again, we ask, what's going on here? You know, Jesus often talks with these parables, and he talks in a way that really gets us thinking. And I always was intrigued by that, and it just fascinates me. So once again, church, we're asking, what's going on here? Is something bigger going on? Is Jesus addressing the pain of his friends and so many others as well? Does he care? Does Jesus really care? One question we may ask is this. Does Jesus care? Mary and Martha have their world rocked. Their brother just died. Does it matter to him? We're a little uncertain because he doesn't do what we expect. Jesus doesn't do what we expect. When he got news, he stayed where he was for 2 more days. If we think we got it all figured out, he would have been there right away to heal his family, the one he loved. So when Martha returns to the house, she lets her sister know that Jesus wants to see her too. Away from all the people gathered at the house, because we know at this time Jesus attracted a crowd. People wanted to be by him. So when the Jews who had been with Mary in the house, comforting her, noticed how quickly she got up and went out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to mourn there. When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would have not died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and he was troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see. Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him? See how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind kept this man from dying? His tears answered our question. In the scripture it says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. He felt the pain. Jesus enters into Mary's pain as she falls at his feet. He also cares about us, church. As an old song affirms, his heart is touched by my grief. In a few weeks from now, this encounter is going to happen. Jesus will show us the full extent of his love. The full extent of his love and what he does for us. He's going to go hang on a cross for us, for you. Once again, we find this regret. And if you guys are sick of me saying this, I'm sorry, but if God keeps bringing something up, it's for a reason, because he wants us to hear it. He wants us to really grab onto it. Mary says, if you would have just been here, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't be dead. She keeps saying this. Her friends even start saying it now. It's nice that he cares, but, you know, he who healed the blind man, he did it for this guy, this stranger. He did this and this for everyone. Martha, Mary, maybe Lazarus wasn't that important to him. Why wouldn't he heal him? It doesn't make sense. So why didn't he, church? Why didn't Jesus do this? Again, we should be thinking that there's something bigger going on. Just like in these crime shows I was talking about, there's a character that we get introduced to that at the time we don't have it figured out. But how many times do we watch a movie or something? We're like, oh, okay, I get it. That's why that happened, so this could happen. And okay, I could see. Hindsight's 20/20, right? So Jesus asked them to show him where the body had been laid. So perhaps at this point, Jesus, you know, he wants to pay his respects, pay his condolences, love on the family a little bit to a dear friend. This is his dear friend. So maybe this is how he shows face and he's going to go and pay his respects. So let's see what happened. Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believe, you will see the glory of God? Jesus says that. Didn't I tell you? If you believe, you will see the glory of God. He says that. Martha, in her doubt, and Mary, they keep saying, Jesus, where were you? I can hear the doubt. I can hear it. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up at the Father and said, Father, thank you, for you have heard me. I know that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. So when he had said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! I mean, I could only imagine how that sounded when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out and his hands and feet wrapped with linen and cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. How cool is that? Wow. Take off the grave clothes and let him go. As he's performing these miracles, I just feel like they just keep getting more and more mind-blowing. So what the heck just happened here, church? Are we wrapping our heads around what just happened? The dude was dead for 4 days, and then Jesus says, get out. And what? Lazarus has been, he's been dead for 4 days. Can you imagine seeing that? Walk out of the grave, bound up, looking like a mummy. He's got strips of cloth all over him. It just doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. Death always has the final word. Always. Tell me, who has authority over death? Who is this guy? Are you kidding me? I mean, he's doing this crazy stuff, walking on water, and he's healing people, the blind, the water and the wine. Yeah, that's cool. But everyone just saw this guy that was dead, and now he called him out of the grave. Who is this that has authority over death? That's my Jesus. Amen? Jesus is showing who he is, his divinity, his power. And if he doesn't have our attention by this point, maybe something's wrong with us. Who can cheat the grave? They stand up with their mouths open. I mean, imagine that. They're looking at each other. I can't even imagine how that experience was. Jesus breaks the silence, and he says, you may want to unwrap him. How cool is Jesus, man? How cool is that? He says, hey, you may want to unwrap him there. Just make sure it's him. Here in this unexpected miracle, we find a prologue, a glimpse of what is coming. And that's the connection with the crime, with the NCIS and all these crime shows that my wife and I are addicted to. Lord, help us. But that happens, and that's cool. You get a piece that makes sense later. A prologue gives the reader some crucial information of the plot that will make sense later. Jesus is the master of this, and this is what I see with Jesus. The more I fall in love with him, the more I read about him, I find out about him. He's 5, 6, 7 steps ahead of us, you know? And the more we find that out, the more we can trust him. He's way ahead of us, and that's part of the attraction. Is this how cool was Jesus that he's 5 steps ahead of us? He knows what he's doing. He's very strategic with his steps, always showing that he's got it figured out. His divinity and his connection to God. This is a sign. Something bigger is going on. A sign always points to something. Right, church? We've been talking about that. Signs, the sermon series. A sign always points to something. So does Jesus have authority over death? Is he able to break Adam's curse? Jesus has just done something life-changing for one family. Will he do something for us? He did it for them. Is he going to do it for us? For all of us. Something bigger is going on here, church. The story is not over. Something bigger is going on. You can imagine that news of this spreads pretty quick. It's like a wildfire. It happened right in Bethany, an easy walk from Jerusalem. People can walk out and see Lazarus with their own eyes. Just a few weeks before, Jerusalem fills up with people for the Passover celebration. So this guy who was just dead for 4 days was in the grave, and now he's walking around. Okay? Imagine that. What would we do in that? I mean, what? You can imagine why people are starting to really get fired up and going, wow, this guy is who he says he is. He's proving it again and again. We've heard some stories about Jesus, but this is crazy, church. He just called this guy from the grave. Who is this guy? No wonder they filled the streets when Jesus rode into the city, just like the kids walking with the palms, and they're waving them. No wonder they welcomed him as their Messiah. Lord, the one who comes to rescue us. No wonder. Hosanna, the son of David. No wonder they were in shock, and they had a parade welcoming this guy, this Jesus. Does it make sense now? They welcomed this guy. He was like a... But they didn't know that it was a heavenly kingdom that he was about to establish. Because once again, he's ahead of us. He's 5 steps ahead of us. Amen. I'm going to welcome the worship team up at this time. Okay? As I pray. Father God, thank you so much for showing us your son Jesus. And just showing how cool he was. His divinity, his power, his strategic things that he did to make us whole again, Lord. To make us whole and to give us an opportunity to get right with you, Lord. And I could only imagine as we celebrate Palm Sunday today, as he rode into Jerusalem, as they're waving palms and just celebrating and loving on him and saying, we love you, Lord. You are the Messiah. Wow, what an amazing picture, Lord. Thank you for your son, Jesus. And I thank you for this holy week as we are about to see the ultimate act of love and sacrifice as you send your only son on a cross to die for us who don't deserve it, Lord. But thank you so much. What an amazing picture. We love you, Lord, and I pray that this week that we can just really take some time to reflect the awe factor, the amazing picture of your love, because this is where it's at. This week is the pinnacle of believing and trusting and being redeemed and putting all of our hope into you, Lord, in Christ alone. In Christ alone, we love you, Lord, and we thank you for that. And I just pray for this worship team as we end on a high note. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen.